Moments of Vertical, a production of Kentwood Community Church. Each week, we bring you the message from our teaching team. We hope that the message will help you reach out to our community and raise up a body of believers.
You might remember a few months ago, we prayed for all of the marriages in our church family. We certainly recognize that this church is not a church that's only made up of married people. There are plenty of vibrant single folks in our midst. But I made the comment that not on my watch and not on the watch of this staff would we just kind of stand by as people's marriages fall apart and not do anything to try and pour into them, to save them, to keep them from walking the road to divorce. And while I was away this week, it's interesting, on the front page of the Grand Rapids Press, or the, the front page on Friday, there's this article titled Season of Divorce. And it's looking at the fact that in the month of January, typically, the lawyers in town tend to see an increase in the number of folks coming to file for divorce. And they've tried to assess what the reason for that is. Some of it is because folks don't want to tell their kids over the holidays that they're splitting up. And they say it's not because somebody bought a bad gift for their spouse and then they just decided to call it quits. It's generally, you know, some deeper issues. So anyway, after we prayed for those marriages, some interesting things happened. And we're going to highlight a couple of them that kind of have been ongoing. But you need to know, as your church family, that there were some folks that stepped up after that prayer time and said, we're willing to come alongside and mentor any married couples in the church. So there's been this whole new ministry that has evolved of marriage mentors, and still in need of more mentors. But there are folks that have stepped up and said, we're willing to be trained, equipped to walk alongside any couples that find themselves struggling. And so I think we should celebrate that. You should celebrate that folks stepped up. You know, also on the front end of marriages, many of you know we do at the beginning, before we marry any couple in this church, we require them to go through a premarital class or a marriage preparation class. That class is called Approaching the Altar. There's always information about when those classes are upcoming at KCC Central if you want to know if you're considering being married. And then there's also a new class that's going to be starting up. You'll get a discipleship guide later that explains for folks that they're not young marrieds anymore, but married with kids, wondering how we can experience fellowship, how we can connect with people that are in the same stage of life. I want to highlight a couple specific ministries with the folks that are up here today, though. And one of them is the ministry called Restoring the Gift. You know, I think about this article in the Grand Rapids Press. Restoring the Gift is a ministry led by Tim and Amy Bass here that is really for those folks that are on the brink. Maybe they've already filed for divorce. Maybe they're just having some struggles and they're saying, we just need some serious marriage enrichment. There have been couples at all different stages that have gone through it, but it has been a ministry that has saved many a marriage in this church family. And so Restoring the Gift is starting up again this month, and there's some information in your family, or I'm sorry, at KCC Central, and there's a table out in the East Lobby after services today, and you can see the dates on the screen. The other thing is, I remember when Petra and I first began attending here at KCC, and the ministry that really connected us with folks, built some friendships that we will have for the rest of our lives, was a young married couples class. And that class has evolved and changed over the years because obviously there comes a point where, you know, you're no longer a young married couple. I guess you're an old married couple, or I don't know what you call it. But there comes a point where, you know, you're not as young as you used to be. But we still have a young married couple class for people on that front end of marriage. And that is led by Brad and Amber Howells. And that class will be starting up again at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings. And there's information about that as well at a table out in the East Lobby. The point is this, you know, we take the sanctity of marriage pretty seriously in the sense that we feel as a church we're called to work as hard as we can by as many means possible to try and step in and help people. What does that say to the divorced person in our midst? It simply says you're going to be welcomed and accepted too, but we want to help save marriages. And so don't feel like, well, man, I'm divorced and now you're telling me I'm not welcome. No, you've been welcomed here from day one at KCC for the last 31 years, and so you're still welcome. But we are trying to be proactive in stepping into those marriages that may be in trouble. Amen? Amen. And you thank them for joining me on the platform. So we are in the midst of a series called Mythbusters, and I would invite you to tune in to this promo And then Pastor Kathy R.C., who's back from maternity leave, is going to bring the word this morning. So be ready to receive her after this promo.
No tall tale is safe. Each urban legend will be deconstructed. And every yarn spun for its last time. Deflating the hype. Killing the rumor. Exploding the myth.
Well, good morning. Last night as I was getting ready to leave the house, I told my little two-year-old that I was going to church. And she said, what are you going to do at church? And I said, well, I'm doing the message this weekend. And she said, oh, what's Pastor Kyle going to do? I said, he'll be there and he has some things to do. She said, go preach, Mommy. And then she paused and said, Pastor Kyle takes turns. Good job, Pastor Kyle. So we can be assured we have a senior pastor who takes turns. Good job, Pastor Kyle. I love it. Absolutely love it. Well, last week, Pastor Kyle started the series for us by busting the myth that you have to have your life together before attending church. And this morning's myth that we're going to be busting together is this, that a one-hour weekend, I'm going to abbreviate here, worship service is enough for someone to grow in their faith. Now, I want those of you who have just begun attending worship services to know something very clearly from me this morning, and that is this. Coming to worship and becoming a regular attender is a huge step for you in your spiritual journey. And in no way do we belittle that important step that you've taken. However, we want you to be assured that that is not the full extent of your Christian journey. Now, embedded in today's myth is somewhat of an assumption, and that assumption is that the motivating factor for attending weekend worship is spiritual growth. That might be a false assumption for some. What motivated you to be here this morning? Let's pretend for just a moment that this last part of the myth isn't there and that it just reads a one-hour weekend worship service is enough. Enough for what? Enough to keep you from feeling guilty? Enough to keep your parents, your kids, your spouse off your back about attending church? Enough to give you the assurance that God is going to be there for you in a pinch? Enough to continue a family tradition? Enough to fit into a Christian subculture that you've come to enjoy? Some of those statements might be true. But a one-hour weekend worship service is not enough when our genuine motivation is spiritual growth. Now, spiritual growth is a term that's kind of fuzzy, isn't it? It may seem sort of vague. What are we really talking about, and how do you measure it, and how do you even know if you've grown in your faith? You know, when we talk about physical growth, you can measure it by pounds and inches. When you talk about intellectual growth, you can take a test that assesses your increase in knowledge. When you talk about professional growth, you can assess it by a change in title or paycheck. But spiritual growth, I think it is so important for us to know that spiritual growth is primarily relational growth. It's growing ever closer to the God who created us and loved us first. And we know that in relationships with other people, that growing relational requires an investment by both parties, doesn't it? Well, God has and continues to invest in us, so our part is to invest in the relationship with Him. Now, I'll be honest with you. In a moment of quiet introspection not so long ago, I asked myself a pretty tough question. I said this, Kathy, what state would your marriage be in if you invested in your husband to the extent that you've invested in your relationship with God recently? I have to confess that my marriage wouldn't be in very good shape. Why is it that it is so hard to be intentional about spiritual growth, that it's so hard to be intentional about investing in our relationship with God? I think part of it is that we justify a lack of investment by the pace of life, don't we? You talk to people, say, how's it going? And 9 out of 10 times, man, I'm busy. I am busy. And, you know, I find myself doing it. I think, well, God understands. I am a full-time working mom. My husband works full-time. I got two little kids at home. I don't have time to brush my teeth. But in that time of introspection, God revealed to me what I really already knew, and that is this, that God can make a way for us to invest in our relationship with Him in every season of life. It might look a little different in different seasons, but He can and does make a way. So having laid the foundation that that spiritual growth is primarily relational growth, I'd like for you to pick up your Bibles with me and turn to Hebrews 3 as we face today's myth head on from God's Word. We're picking it up in Hebrews 3, starting in verse 7. Now, I want to give you a little bit of background to this passage. I just love how Scripture is woven together. Hebrews 3, starting at verse 7, is a quote from Psalm 95. And Psalm 95 is a commentary on an Old Testament story found in Numbers 13 to 14. Let me give you the quick version of that Old Testament story because it serves as an example in Hebrews for us as we strive toward greater faithfulness. Back in Numbers 13 to 14, it tells of God's people. God's people who had been walking with God for generations. God had been faithful to them over and over and over again. They get to the border of the land that God had promised them, and what do? They refuse to enter, because in that moment, they don't trust God enough to make them victorious, to help them conquer the land that He had promised them. So that's the backdrop for today's passage in Hebrews 3. You see, growing in our faith calls for listening to the voice of God today. Let's look at verses 7 through 11. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Do you see what's going on here? They failed to listen to the voice of God, and then it created a snowball effect in their life experience. They didn't listen to God's voice, which led to disobedience, which led to disbelief, which eventually led to amazing heartache, both for the people of God and for God Himself. You see, a heart that is soft and pliable and ready to grow is a heart that is tuned in to the voice of God. Now, you may be wondering, okay, how do I do this? What does this look like? How does God communicate with His people today? Well, I want us to be really clear on something this morning, and that is this. The Bible, God's Word, is His primary means for communicating with us today. And spiritual growth is impossible if the Word of God is not a key element in that investment that we make in that relationship. We need to be clear on that. And here's how it works. God speaks truth to us as we read His Word, and then the Holy Spirit, which resides in us, helps us to apply that truth to the daily circumstances of our lives. So God speaks, that's His part, and our part is to listen. Over the summer, a group of KCC pastors and staff people and several of you gathered for a book study. The book that we looked at together is this, The Trellis and the Vine. And the purpose for our coming together was for us to wrestle to the ground the question, how do we really cultivate spiritual growth in the life of our congregation? We had some really lively discussion and were challenged by some of the thoughts in this book. But one of the things that came up again and again and again was this centrality of the Bible in spiritual growth. Listen to what the book says. It says, genuine spiritual growth only comes as the Holy Spirit applies the Word of God to people's hearts. You know what the amazing thing is that God is speaking all of the time. He's speaking all of the time. And if the only time we tune into that voice is when we gather for 1 hour on a weekend, and there are 168 hours in a week, that means this, I know I'm a pastor, but I can do this math. We hear 1/168th of what God's going to tell us. That's less than 1% of what God wants to speak into our lives. It's got to be more than 1 hour a week. And God calls us to listen to him day by day, moment by moment. And if you look at this verse, a word that jumps out throughout this entire passage we're looking at today comes right at the beginning in verse 7. It says, today, if you hear his voice. What does it mean by today? It means right now, today, in this moment, and in the next moment, and the next moment, daily. It's this daily listening to the voice of God. So growing in our faith calls us to listen to the voice of God today. Growing in our faith also calls for us to trust God's leadership in every area of our lives. Look at verse 12. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Now, this word translated unbelieving could also be translated as unfaithful. This verse is getting at the issue of trust. You see, trust is the absolute foundation for any relationship. And when that trust is absent, it undermines the relationship altogether. This is what was going on in that Old Testament story that I told you. God's people came to this pivotal moment, this climax of their walking with God, and they get to the point where they have the opportunity to prove their trust in God by entering the promised land, no matter how intimidating it may seem. And they refused. They refused. Their lack of trust revealed that they were unbelieving and led once again to hardened hearts. You know, congregation, I want us to be 100% confident of something together, and that is this: God is trustworthy. Can you say that with me all together? God is trustworthy. We never have to question how worthy God is for our trust. And as we enter into and engage in relationship with him, that trust must be there. It's not just a haphazard kind of trust. It's trusting God with every area of our lives, not just some spiritual compartment. Because, see, there's a spiritual dimension to every area of our lives, isn't there? And, you know, trust is revealed through our actions. God's people in the Old Testament showed through their actions they didn't trust him. If you say to somebody, hey, I trust you with my car, but you never toss them the keys to take it for a spin, you don't really trust them. If you tell someone, yeah, I trust you with my kids, but you never give them the opportunity to interact with them, you probably don't trust them. If you say to someone, I trust you with the details of my life, but you never share with them a struggle that you're going through, your actions show you don't trust them. Trusting God is revealed through our actions. One way to assess your level of spiritual growth or whether or not you're growing is to take a look at your life and see if your actions reveal that you do or don't trust God. You see, growing in our faith calls us to trust God's leadership in every area of our life. And that can't happen just 1 hour a week developing that trust. It's ongoing day by day. It's that daily investment in our relationship with God. Well, growing in our faith also calls us to engage in Christian community as we strive to live out God's word. Look at verse 13. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We were never meant to go this Christian journey alone. God has hardwired us, not just for a relationship with him, but also for a relationship with one another. And attempting to do that in isolation is a setup for failure. Look what this verse says. It says, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We run in danger of being hardened by sin's deceitfulness when we attempt to do this alone. Now, let's be honest. When we gather together here on the weekend in this large setting, we can only experience community in a very, very small way. It's important what we do in corporate worship, but real community is knowing people's names, knowing some history, having some shared life experiences, being there for each other in the ups and downs of life. And that can only happen in smaller settings. That's why you hear from us over and over again. You're going to hear from us once again today. A challenge to get involved in a smaller setting with other believers, into a group or a class, or to become part of a ministry team. That's where true community can occur. Now, if you look at this verse, there are two words that really jump out at me. One of them is the word daily. The word today is repeated in this verse too, but the writer of Hebrews is saying, I really want the readers to get this, that this is a daily thing. This encouraging one another, this being there for each other. It's more than just a smile and a quick hello as you're walking in and out of church on the weekend. It's something that God has designed for us to do daily with one another. The other word that jumps out is the actual command contained in this verse, and that is encourage one another. Now, why would the writer have said encourage? He could have told us to do a lot of things for and with one another, but why encourage? Encourage here means more than just an attaboy or an attagirl every once in a while. It's so much richer than that. It's talking about speaking truth into each other's lives. It's talking about recognizing the best that God has planted in each other and calling out that best. It means being there, walking alongside one another. You see, growing in our faith calls us to open our hearts, open our lives for others to accompany us on the journey. Growing in our faith calls us to engage in Christian community. Well, growing in our faith also calls for us to persevere in a continual pursuit of spiritual growth. Look at verse 14. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold firmly till the end our original conviction. This verse is saying, you know what? We need to be in this for the long haul. We not only need to be in this Christian life for the long haul, we need to keep growing until the end. One of the reasons that I think this myth is out there and perpetuated is by those who have the been there, done that mentality. You know what I mean? The folks who've said, I've done the groups, I've done the classes, I've been on the mission trips, I've served on teams, and now I'm coasting. Well, you know what? We were never meant to coast at any point in the Christian journey. We were never meant to coast. Now, why is it so important that we continue to grow spiritually? It is so important because it affects more than just ourselves. You see, as we continue to grow spiritually, we continually become equipped to share God with others. That's why it is so important for us to grow spiritually. That was another aha for us in our book study this summer. We wanted to get really clear on the purpose of spiritual growth. And we had some good devil's advocates in the group that said, what's the point of growing spiritually? Don't we owe it to people to tell them what the point is? We said, yeah, we do. Look at what the trellis and the vine said. It said, the purpose of spiritual growth is so that in love, we might minister to others by prayerfully bringing the word of God to them. Now, getting clear on the purpose of spiritual growth has been so motivating for me personally. And let me tell you why. When I make an investment in my relationship with God, when I spend time in His Word, I not only pray for Him to apply it to my day and for it to affect me, but now I take very seriously the prayer, Lord, can you take that Word that you've given me today and use it as an encouragement in someone else's life? That is so motivating for me. The flip side is also true. I know now that when I don't spend time in God's Word, when I'm not investing in my relationship with Him, I'm not just cheating myself out. I'm cheating out every person who could have been blessed by my sharing God's Word with them in that day. You see, growing in our faith calls us to persevere, for us to persevere until the end, to continually pursue the growth that God has in store for us, not just for our own sake, but also for the sake of others. Well, I think it's pretty clear from Hebrews 3 that we can declare this morning's myth busted. I began by sharing with you that spiritual growth is primarily about relational growth. Let me share you a story that illustrates that. It's been so much fun since having our little daughter number two, Rael, to see the relationship forming between the two sisters. It's a wild thing, even at such an early age. But something interesting happened this week. There was a fire drill at our girls' school. Now, first of all, can you imagine getting a whole bunch of little kids out the door quickly on a cold January day? Like, God bless those teachers. But the alarm went off. Kylea said, Mommy, there was a big beep. So the big beep started happening. And Kylea, our two-year-old, was in her classroom, and she bolted out of her room. A teacher had to chase her, and she ran, made a beeline for the door to the infant room where her sister was, and started beating on the door, crying and screaming for Rael. She calls her Rai-Rai, baby Rai-Rai, baby Rai-Rai, and absolutely inconsolable until she could see her little sister's face and know that she was okay. Now, I have been praying that this weekend serves as a fire drill for this congregation, as a moment in time when we are driven, we are motivated like none before to tend to the each of our relationship with God, motivated by love, motivated to action, and not satisfied until we see Him face to face. I'd like to invite Pastor Kyle up to join me. You've been hearing this fall about the vision of KCC, and that part of that vision is the passionate cultivation of life change. And that's what this discipleship thing is all about. And we have some exciting things to share with you.
Well, good morning again. A couple weeks ago, I gave you a heads up, if you were here, that this was the weekend where we were going to present you with some discipleship options and really challenge you to prayerfully consider what one or two steps of faith God wants everyone to take over the next 5 months. And for each person, it'll look different. And so I'm mindful of the fact that in a few moments when the ushers come forward, you'll receive a discipleship guide that lists a variety of options. But I wanted to communicate some things pretty simply up front, because I know for some of you, you'll receive that guide and the options in it will seem complicated and overwhelming. And I need you to know, discipleship, we have really boiled it down to some simple terms. And the first way to describe it is just that, as Pastor Kathy said, discipleship, if you had to boil it down, is about the Word of God working in conjunction with the Holy Spirit so that we would impact others. We would journey through this life with others, and that others would be impacted as the Spirit of God transforms us. So it's the Word, the Spirit, and others. You know, when we rolled out the vision, we said our vision is to be a diverse community where people experience authentic relationships and find hope and freedom in Jesus Christ through our unconditional love, selfless serving, and the passionate cultivation of life change. And if you remember, we talked about four big goals over the next 3 years, one of them being more disciples and more committed disciples. Well, the more disciples piece speaks to our priority of evangelism, but the more committed disciples piece speaks to us growing up those that are already followers of Christ. You know, if you look at critics of the American church, many of them will say, you've probably heard this critique. Man, revival seems to be breaking out in all other parts of the world, but not here in the American church because it's stagnant. People are spectators in their faith and blah, 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 blah. All I know is I never want to lead a church like that. Never want to lead a lukewarm church. I never want to lead a church where over the course of 15, 20 years, people are in the same place spiritually as they were at the start of that time. And so that's what this is all about. We're trying to say you have to be intentional. All of us have to be intentional about growing in our faith. So what's our job as a church then? Our job as a church is to try and encourage people to make a commitment and then allow us to hold them accountable. And then let's celebrate like crazy when those steps are taken. And so these discipleship guides that you're going to receive, the what behind it is, we're saying whether it's serving, a small group, a classroom environment, one-on-one or one-on-a-few discipleship, whatever it might be, it should be centered on God's Word, should invite the Spirit in to transform, and it shouldn't just be about us, it should be about others. We're going to call you to commitment in just a moment. Pastor Kathy is going to talk about the how behind that as the ushers begin to bring those discipleship guides forward. And please just take one per family for right now, so that we can make sure everyone gets one.
Well, the discipleship guys you're going to be receiving hopefully will kind of connect the dots for you in terms of where we're about in terms of discipleship at KCC. You'll see four kind of categories of opportunities for growth. Don't let that confuse you, but we thought that might be helpful for you in terms of thinking of your own spiritual life, and that's classes. And you'll see more classes offered than ever before, geared toward people at all different levels in their spiritual journey. We're also talking about community, primarily groups and ways to connect you relationally. Also experiences, so things like attending weekend worship and serving and mission trips, that's all discipleship as well. And then finally, we've included in the discipleship guide some things about personal spiritual practices, because we realize that is an important part of the equation as you grow spiritually. Now, in your family news today, you received an insert that looks like this. It says, personal discipleship plan. I'd like for you, I want to hear some rustling of pages. Pull these out. I'd like for you to take a look at this insert. What we would like for you to do today is to prayerfully consider what step or steps you will commit to taking to invest in your relationship with God over the next 5 months. And instead of just kind of issuing that challenge and saying, hey, good luck with that, we're saying, you know what? Let us in on what God has revealed to you as your plan for spiritual growth over the next 5 months. So we are challenging you as a congregation to fill out this personal discipleship plan. And you're going to have some opportunity to do it today. You can also go on our website and fill it out and submit it online. You'll also have opportunity to turn it in further weekends if you need some time to pray about it. And don't let the complexity of the form intimidate you. If you commit to one thing and you follow through on that one thing, we are going to celebrate. That is a win. If you feel God leading you to commit to a few things, then we can celebrate with you as well. So we encourage you to prayerfully consider this and let us in on it. Now, I've had some people ask me, what's the deal with this accountability piece? If I turn this in, who's going to bug me about it?
I'm going to show up at your house.
Yeah, oh, no, great.
No, just joking, just joking.
The best form of accountability for this is to be part of a KCC group. Group leaders are prepared to listen to what your plans are and are going to encourage you, and you as small groups together can talk about those. So that is the best form of accountability. But also, anyone who submits a personal discipleship plan, you'll be getting regular communication via email from us with encouragement and tips on spiritual practices. And come spring, anybody who fills this in is going to get a phone call from us that says, hey, how'd it go? And we are hoping to hear some amazing stories of life change through some of those phone calls. Then at the end of May, we're going to have just a big old celebration. And we're going to hear some of those life stories and really affirm you for the steps that you've taken.
So we have a key question for you today. How are you planning to grow spiritually, intentionally, today? I'm going to offer up a word of prayer, and then we're going to give you a few minutes right here in this service to begin that process of prayer. Some of you, you've already been praying for several weeks, and some of this maybe already aligns with New Year's resolutions that you've made, and so you already know what you're going to put on the form. But I do want to remind you, you know, if you're in a small group, your small group's going to cover this week, so don't feel obligated to turn it in today. But if you know, if you already know, after a few minutes of some quiet reflection, there'll be some buckets that come around, and you can drop it off today. And we'll begin to pray with you as you follow through on those commitments. You know, sometimes we participate in these surveys for a church that try and evaluate the health of a church. And one of the things we often hear back from you is that I want to be a part of a church where I get challenged. Well, consider yourself challenged. We're challenging you to not stay stagnant in your spiritual growth. If you're already doing some things to grow, just let us in on what they are. If you haven't done anything, maybe this is just the nudge that you need to be intentional. So I'm going to pray. You'll have that time of reflection. And then after that, we still got a couple people to baptize this morning. So don't use this time to slip out. We're going to celebrate together with them as they take that step of faith. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I am so thankful to you for the opportunity that you give us today to challenge folks to grow deeper in their relationship with you. God, we know that it's not necessarily a class or a small group or a serving experience or a missions trip, Lord, or anything that necessarily brings about growth. Lord, we know that growth comes from your Spirit. So, God, I do pray that right now, as people seek to hear your voice, that you would speak and speak clearly, O Lord. No matter where people find themselves on the spiritual continuum, oh Lord, I pray that you would speak powerfully into each of our lives. Make it clear, God, what it is that you want us to commit to over the next 5 months, oh Lord. Help us not overcommit, Lord, but help us to follow your leading. If it's one thing, help us to be obedient to indicating that. If it's four or five things, Lord, we pray that we would hear your voice and move accordingly. And we just thank you, O Lord, for the reminder from the Hebrews passage that you intend for this to be a daily kind of discipline. So, God, I pray that you would continue to move and transform by the power of your Spirit. And in these moments of reflection, Lord, we want to hear your voice. Would you speak, Lord, because your servants are listening. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this weekend's message. If you would like more information on this topic, please call us at 455-1740. 616-455-1740. Or visit us online at www.kcconline.org. Thanks for listening, and may God bless you.